What is up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I'm here with It's the Nine Ball and Mildewy Carrots, and today is January 18th, 2022, for episode 3 of season 2 of All Things Gaming, where we sit down and discuss video game news with you guys. All the nerdy stuff, all the good stuff, all the stuff we love to talk about, which is video games. Got her on a one inside the chat, says, "Hi, friends." Yeah, I know you didn't want to miss this one because it's a big one, talking about how Xbox had acquired Activision / Blizzard. And we're definitely, we're not going to do too much of the little pre-intro stuff just because... we have a lot to talk
about.
It's
big news today.
Yeah,
folks.
Big news today. Big news. We do have five different topics, and we got a couple fun ones for you. But the biggest one of the top is going to be Activision Blizzard. Make sure you guys are following us on social media platforms such as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Just type in ALWT Gaming. You guys can also go to Rep Sports, REPPSports.com. Type in ALWT Gaming, get 15% off if you type in ALWT Gaming off your raise energy drinks, all that good stuff. But enough of that. Gentlemen, you know what? I'm going to read it first. We're just going to go right into the reading, and then we're going to discuss it, because we have a
lot
to talk
about. Sorry, I had to
wet
my whistle for this one.
Exactly. Facts. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those who do not know, Xbox had bought Activision Blizzard. The deal's still ongoing right now, but it's pretty much a done deal. It's going to be concluded in 2023. Like, I think it's June is what somebody had put up there on the article. But Eddie Mackey from GameSpot had put this in his report. Following reports, Microsoft has now officially announced that it has acquired Activision Blizzard in a deal said to be valued at nearly $70 billion. $70 billion. Stop it real fast. $70 billion. Okay, going back to the story. Over many decades, the studio, this is a quote, by the way. Over many decades, the studios and teams that make up Activision Blizzard had earned vast wellsprings of joy and respect from billions of people all over the world. Xbox Phil Spencer had said, quote, "We are incredibly excited to have the chance to work with the amazing, talented, dedicated people across Activision Publishing, Blizzard Entertainment, Phoenix, Demonware, Digital Legends, High Moon Studios, Infinity Ward, King, Major League Gaming, Radical Entertainment, Raven Software, Sledgehammers, Toys for Bob, Treyarch, and every team across Activision Blizzard," end quote. Until the deal closes, Microsoft and Activision will operate independently, Microsoft said. If and when it does, the Activision team will report to Spencer as the CEO of Microsoft Gaming. Spencer said Microsoft will add as many Activision Blizzard games as we can to Xbox Game Pass for PC and console, including the new games and catalog titles. Spencer went on to say that buying Activision Blizzard will help accelerate our plans for cloud gaming. Activision Blizzard games are enjoyed on a variety of platforms, and we plan to continue to support those communities moving forward, he said, end quote, end story.
So long as they are Xbox people, they'll support them.
That's kind of where I'm getting at, too, as well. But first and foremost, all right, so all of us here, we do like Xbox, some more than others. All of us do like PC gaming, some more than others. All of us like PlayStation, some more than others. And then I believe all of us like Nintendo.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Oh. That was a convincing one. Some more than others. Hearing this Megatron slate of news, I want to start with you, Mildewy Carrot.
Megatron? This is freaking Unicron.
Yeah, I want to start with you, Mildewy Carrot, and then right after that, Nine Ball, I want you to jump right on in. We're not going to waste any time. Go. What do you think about all this, Mildewy?
Okay, first off, $7 billion.
The 7D.
7D. 70 billion dollars.
Can I get a mil?
You know, everyone's like, "Oh, Phil Spencer's spending." I'm like, "No, this is Daddy Gates spending is what he's doing. You know, Daddy Gates is funding this bill for sure." Second off, they're getting a lot of different studios, and one of my things is also, you know, they're getting Call of Duty, which has normally been on Xbox beforehand, but we've also got them transition over to PlayStation. So that's going to die soon. That PlayStation crew is going to die off if what they because they did that with, we saw that with Bethesda in a way. Like, you know, they've got current stuff out there and that they're honoring that's out now, but anything new coming out, we're not getting it on PlayStation. I mean, oh, you can get it on PC if you've got an Xbox Game Pass. I'm like, why would I want to spend $15 a month to get this game? Well, then you'd have to buy it. I'm like, I'd rather just buy it than to own it versus spending $15. That's $180 a year, guys. Just in case no one's good at math, to continue Game Pass. Like, but you get all those games. I'm like, you got to make sure you really want to play all those games. First off, I'm kind of picky here and there. I would rather, you know, buy a game. But then I have to buy the Game Pass anyway just to play online, to be completely honest, with friends, which is kind of weird. No, hand down.
A quick little chime in. I will say, and just to clarify for anyone that's watching right now or listening later on, he is talking about just the Game Pass portion on PC. You can still buy it on PC, but you have to have a PC. It would have to be through like the Microsoft Store or something like that. But go ahead, proceed. Yeah.
You'd have to buy it through the Microsoft Store, which, to be honest, I'm like, I'd rather buy it through Steam. But that's me. There's a lot of studios here. Now, he said that they want to work with the talented people there. I kind of want to be a little, you know, sarcastic and mean here and say, of the ones that are left, because they've been having issues with that. So they're going to work with them, but they've got a lot to repair, too. They've got a reputation to repair. They're taking on everything that Activision had going on currently. You know, yes, I'm pretty sure once again, whoever was the problem there, they're chucking them to the side of the road. There ain't going to be no severance package or anything. They're like, you're the problem. Bye.
Bobby Cote.
You know, which I am whole all for. I'm definitely all for getting rid of them. But then you got to work on repairing that and repairing that reputation. Blizzard and Activision had WoW. WoW pretty much is almost dead because they lost everyone in this whole kerfuffle to League of Legends, to not League of Legends, to Final Fantasy. You know, they lost a lot of people to it. You've got the Call of Duty players and all. You've got the issues that they had with their Major League Gaming and everything that they got to work through. I know they were already working on it when Blizzard was just by themselves, but they're now taking on that responsibility to monitoring it. So they're taking on a huge amount of stuff here, which, I mean, it's going to happen when you're acquiring a new company. It's going to be that. You're going to have the full transition times of, you know, putting people in and everything, getting everyone acclimated to how the company wants to run it and how everything goes. I'm hoping they keep it as a parent, you know, child company situation, to where it's like Activision is a child company of Microsoft, to where they can still kind of run their games and everything and do what they do and build them the way that they want to build them, and Microsoft just kind of the parent company and kind of help them with releases and all. Backtracking on that, my biggest thing is we're probably not going to see much more from that in terms of games being released to PlayStation through Steam, Epic, or anything like that. We're not going to see games coming through there from them. It's only going to be via the Game Pass and all, via the Microsoft Store, which for me, I definitely say is a smart business move that they bought them. But me personally, I'm kind of worried about this buy, because they bought Activision and Blizzard. They bought Bethesda. Who's next on their list? I kind of want to pull out the Monopoly board and just replace everything with freaking, you know, gaming companies and say, all right, you know, Microsoft's going to roll and just, you keep buying everything up. And Sony, I'm like, you kind of did one buy, but it's like, where's, like, you need to step up here, and someone needs to also ask them what the hell they're doing.
You know? That was the biggest thing. You don't want to go into a buying competition with Microsoft.
Oh, I know you don't want to go into a buying competition with them, but someone needs to check on this, because it is kind of concerning, just because they're like, oh, we're buying these to try and get more games to people. I feel like it's just to get more games to people who are Xbox players, which, don't get me wrong, is a smart thing to do to help support your company and your game brand. But in terms of looking at the entire gaming community, I'm like, there's a lot of different platforms out there, Spencer. Like, well, we got the Xbox on the PC. Yeah, but you have to pay for Game Pass. You have to get through Microsoft or the Game Pass, you know? So it's just a concern I'm seeing going forward. Like, now this may be it. Like, this may be just the one buy and then that's it, and then they're kind of like going to let everyone go, like, kind of keep the world turning. But it's enough to raise like a little red flag going, time out. What's going on here? You know, what is this all? Or is this just stage one of the 32 takeover world plan by Bill Gates?
It sounds like the beginning, to be completely honest with you. It does sound like the beginning.
So, in terms of a company aspect, I'm glad that they're buying it. I really hope that they, you know, clean it out, get them back up to the glory days that Activision Blizzard was at, you know, help repair that, get them going back on their feet and everything. As a gamer who does across all platforms, this is kind of concerning. So, Nineball, I will let you... I'm pointing the wrong way. I'll let you take it from there.
All right.
Since you are the more in-depth guru on that one.
Currently, I was just looking up current people on there, checking to see who did what. This is interesting. It is. I see where you're coming from. This is scary in some ways.
Is this Emperor Palpatine interesting? Or?
But this was a very opportunistic move. And to be honest, on a company standpoint, it makes sense. Final Fantasy, a lot of people say Final Fantasy is the WoW killer. WoW was never killed by Final Fantasy. WoW killed themselves.
Yeah, WoW was killed by WoW. Final Fantasy was there to pick up the pieces.
Final Fantasy was the mercy kill. It came in and said, oh,
and you they just tanked. a lot of those channels I've been checking have been checking on WoW to see what they're doing. Really, they're just waiting for them to fix it up. I mean, this is, it's pretty big, actually. I mean, the implications could be huge. It is actually huge because, like I gave you earlier with the Games Radar, the president and the FTC are both looking into this to see whether we need to really change our thing on this, because we can't let them just buy up companies.
Yeah. They want to see if there's an offside on the play. 15-yard penalty.
I'm trying to figure... That's what I said.
You know, it's like they're buying, you know, we got the Monopoly board out, and, you know, they've already bought the Boulevard areas. So it's like, why? What's next? You know,
the question is who came to who?
Oh, you know, good and well, Phil Spencer went to the, he's beefing up that Game Pass. And he's,
Activision could have came to them, but the way Activision's actually been dropping off.
I think they were watching
Overwatch. Yeah, they probably just pushed them. It kind of helped them out, you know. But I was just watching, I haven't watched it yet, but Nerd Slayer recently posted something on Death of a Game, which he's talking about Overwatch.
Oh, yeah,
which Overwatch. Which fell off, which was another big title. Overwatch, WoW is, of course, falling off. Bel-Air was talking about that. Wait a minute, let's, what do you got to say?
Well, I was chiming on that, like, going back to the who approached who, I almost 1,000% guarantee you that what had happened here is that Phil Spencer, like, again, Phil Spencer probably saw that Activision is struggling and waiting for them to see what they're going to do. Because on the Activision front, the easy solution is to remove Bobby Kotick, get rid of all the people that's toxic. You have enough fan base that you can still benefit from that just by replacing it with other people that's qualified in those positions, but also will be fair to their workers and everything like that across the board, and then there you go, everything's good. That's how big Activision is. This right here was Xbox seeing like, okay, we see you guys struggling. You guys are not removing Bobby Kotick, so let's go ahead and do this. We're going to buy you guys, and then we'll remove Bobby Kotick ourselves. That's kind of what I think what had kind of led to this, because Bobby Kotick didn't need to go. I agree with that.
Yeah, Well, like I said, with this one, I'm kind of still reading into it because this is big, and I've been reading to like the FTC and stuff.
What I'm saying is not facts. I'm just letting you, like I'm just saying in general, this is more than likely what had happened, and of course, we'll come across articles like this over time.
Because actually, I had to think back to the Fox stuff of acquisition with
Disney,
and actually, what happened with that? What Disney really approached them? Fox was getting rid of stuff. It was sort of like a massive garage sale. We don't want Marvel Studios. We don't want this stuff no more. And Disney came up for the buy because it was between, I would say, Disney and Comcast. It's just who could pull out the bigger wallet. And you ever seen Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
That movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he pulled out that Batman credit card right there. Disney had the Batman credit card, just pulled it out, put it on the table. And they basically bought him. This one, it's like I said, this is very ongoing, and this is a huge buy. I see what you're saying. It's kind of scary because, to be honest, Microsoft is, for the longest time, most people said Microsoft really, they was in the gaming industry, but not really in it. Mm-hmm. They finally realized something in these last few years that the gaming industry is taking off.
They didn't realize Phil Spencer realized it.
And Daddy Gates started looking down at, you know, his little kid over there, and he's been playing with his little Xbox, building it. Son, what you doing? If I give you $70 billion, what will you do with it?
I'm gonna buy Activision.
Okay, you go do that. You go buy Activision. I'll give you $71 billion.
Thank you, Daddy.
I love that little bit you guys just did. Absolutely love it. The funny thing is, too, the way that you're looking off your camera, I know this was not planned, but the way you look out your camera, it looked like that you're talking down to your son because Mildewy Carrot was right there in your line of view. But yeah, go ahead there, Mildewy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to touch on what Nineball says. As soon as they announced that they were acquiring Activision, FTC and the DOJ immediately announced that they are doing a full review of merger guidelines, and they're saying the reason why, and I'm reading a quote from their Twitter post that they did, is recent evidence indicates that many industries across the economy are becoming more concentrated and less competitive, imperiling choice and economic gains for consumers, workers, entrepreneurs, and small businesses. These problems are likely to persist or worsen due to ongoing merger surge that has more than doubled merger filings from 2020 to 2021. COVID is a big point in that because a lot of companies have been having issues.
Little companies, they can't really make it.
I said this off stream, and I wanted to put it in here, and I didn't put it in my rant. I'm concerned about those little guys, too, those little indie companies. I love those indie games on Steam. I love seeing new people just coming up and pulling out these games. Ember Labs is an indie company that pulled out a fantastic game.
They better be careful. It might be a pellet on Pac-Man's board.
That's why I'm like, I'm concerned for them. I want them to keep doing good stuff. Like, oh, but they can underneath the Xbox logo. I'm like, I'm sorry. Is this now the battle between, like, is this now, like, the Xbox versus, like, I feel like Microsoft really is trying to go for it. Like, no, we're not. I'm like, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. It's like you're almost doing it, but like, no, we're doing it for the gamers. I'm like, not all the gamers. Phil. I'm like, that little fantasy of yours where everyone lives in a happy Xbox world doesn't really equate too well because a lot of people prefer to do either their own stuff on Steam or on PlayStation or Nintendo, and you're just trying to take it all away.
I want to see what they do with it. And to be honest, I already know, well, we pretty much kind of know where it's going to go. I have a feeling, but my really thing I'm kind of feeling is what will they do with some of those bigger properties? Will you take WoW and put it on the subscription to reignite it? You can pretty much run that through Xbox Game Pass, and it would be a better deal to get that. And, you know, it's just an offering to the plethora of games on there.
I was about to say, Gatorano inside the chat says, I think a big reason Microsoft is getting all these buys is because Sony is sort of moving away from gaming and into movies/anime, so they don't have much of a competitor. I disagree with that, actually.
I totally disagree with that.
I
think if anything, Sony's still steering inside the gaming industry, but they're trying to be more of a studio in general, like overall corporation. But their biggest hitters, at least when you're talking about PlayStation, is still gaming. Like, it's definitely huge as far as the narratives go and RPG elements, like, and having those premium experience gaming stuff. Now, I will say, as far as
don't forget quantity, their TVs.
Yeah, yeah. As far as quantity goes, I do think that the quantity is in Xbox favor just because they're just grabbing everything. Like, it could be a AAA, AA, quadruple A, single A, whatever indie game.
Which I have to interject about that. Microsoft, batteries. Batteries.
I mean, how else are they
going to $70 billion? And you can't take batteries?
Now, to be fair, it is one of those, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
No, it's no, the same, no. It's the same, no, don't
even test it. I'm just saying, if no, they've had the same no, controller
take
style
the batteries out.
Since 360.
No, they got support. They're selling the Energizer Bunny. You know, they got them under the table deals for them.
They probably own them too.
Yeah, at this rate.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they got some sort of farming game where they've been growing carrots to feed the Energizer Bunny. You know.
Yeah. I So like, I agree with both of you guys on this one. I do think that this obviously is huge. It's probably one of the biggest news in gaming industry in a very long time, if not period. For me, and I said this off stream, I'll say it again for those that's listening on Anchor, Spotify, or YouTube or Twitch. This doesn't affect me because I own all the systems. So if a game comes out that I want to play, I'm fortunate enough that I could just go ahead and play it. Like, I just have it on Game Pass, buy it on PS5, get it on my Switch, play it on PC, on my Steam Deck that's going to be coming in. Regardless, cool. I'm good. The thing about it, and I keep going back to this, and I know that this is the second time that Xbox had made this statement saying our intent is not to take away games from other people. When you do this twice in a row with two major publishers, that is your intent at this point. One time, shame on me. One time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. Like, that's kind of what's going on here. You said it with Bethesda, and now people on Elder Scrolls, like, once the next Elder Scrolls 6, more than likely, is going to be Xbox exclusive. You're going to have it on Game Pass or on Xbox or whatever. You're doing the same thing with a bigger title, Activision Blizzard, like, or Call of Duty. You're doing it with a bigger thing. That one's worldwide. Like, I mean, obviously Elder Scrolls is too, but this is Call of Duty is worldwide. Like, it is huge.
And you're the thing about it is, I think actually this is way bigger.
It is way bigger.
You put it in perspective, because you've got not only one of the biggest first-person shooters in Call of Duty, you have one of the biggest MMOs in World of Warcraft. You also have one of the biggest rogue, top-down, in Diablo, which is still going to release Diablo Immortal. Plus, they have Diablo 4 in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Arena shooters in Overwatch, and they talked about Overwatch 2 coming out. One of the biggest RTS titles, StarCraft 2, is absolutely enormous. Mm-hmm. I rant every time I go into
all the stuff that he's saying right there is, again, exactly what I'm talking about. These are not stuff that was initially just first on Xbox, under Xbox, and then they branched out to other people. They're like, all right, you're coming back home. It's not that, which I can understand that. This is stuff that has been independent, branched out to all these different gaming platforms, regardless of what they're on. You even have Call of Duty Mobile. Like, you can even play it on your phone. Now, all of a sudden, anything that's Call of Duty is just, nope, you can't have a PlayStation. It's here at Xbox. This is where it's at. Unless we can put Game Pass on the PlayStation, y'all ain't getting it. Like, that's the message right there.
They've talked about it before, so don't put it past them.
Yeah.
Phil Spencer said that this deal is not meant to pull communities
away.
He said that same, almost the exact same thing when they got Bethesda.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything current. It's anything in the future.
Yeah, it's depriving your audience that you're trying to please. Like, if you want to make sure that all gamers can have the game experiences about the games, then you're going to keep it to where at least those it's facts.
It's not that. They got Candy Crush.
Yeah, that's in there. That's underneath Activision Blizzard.
They got a whole bunch of stuff. Like, they've got so many different companies here. Let's review it again, guys. Activision Publishing, Blizzard Entertainment, Beenox, Demonware, Digital Legends, High Moon Studios, Infinity Ward, King, Major League Gaming, Radical Entertainment, Raven Software, Sledgehammer Games, Toys for Bob's, Treyarch, and every team across the Activision Blizzard group. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a lot.
Yeah.
That's going to go into Xbox, which, like I said, business-wise, smart move. For a gamer who's multi-playing across different platforms, it's really not. Unless you're on Xbox.
Yeah, and again, that's a great reward for Xbox consumers, but as far as gaming industry in general, you're depriving a lot of people of this, and you're trying to say that you're not like you're, that's not your intent. That's your intent. When you do it for a second time in a row, that is your intent. You're just
to be honest. I wouldn't even lie about it. I would just be truthful. Yeah, we bought it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're trying to come off as this whole like, oh, we're here for the gamers. No, you're not. You're not here for the gamers.
You're here for your gamers.
You're here for the Xbox fans. Which again, business wise, makes sense. This is a genius move on a corporate level. But when you're talking about, again, the general consumer, the normal gamer that's just out there, that may have bought... How would I feel if I was just only a Call of Duty player and I was playing on PlayStation 5 or PlayStation and I finally, as of today, got my PS5 and then wake up to this news? You know what I mean? Like, that's
playing
pretty
PlayStation. Playing Call of Duty on PlayStation.
I'm saying, like, yeah, if I'm playing PlayStation, like, if I'm only on PlayStation, and it's already hard to get consoles right now. We already know that. People have been trying to do so for the past year and a half. I finally get my PS5 pre-ordered because that's what I wanted to play it on. I can still play with people that's over on Xbox. I can still play with PC. Cool. But I wanted to play on PlayStation. I finally get my PS5, and then this news comes out. That is literally a huge slap in the face because... Now that means that I would have to get another $500 console within the next 2 years if I wanted to play the next Call of Duty. Like the new one. The Warzone's going to be on there, period, across all of them. But if I want to play the next Call of Duty, now I have to wait another I have to get another console within 2 years or a PC within 2 years in order to play it.
That's if they port it to the PC. A lot of
they probably will. Yeah,
it'll come to it, but when is the question? Because there's a lot of times where
a lot of these games
have been coming on just, you know, that's probably through Game Pass is what you're getting through.
Yeah.
But if I don't want to pay for the Game Pass stuff, and I'd rather just buy it through the Microsoft store, when is it going to drop there?
Steam as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know about the Steam front, but I know that anything that's going to be day and date for Xbox is
yeah, they're still dropping on Steam.
They better be because that's
yeah, Halo Infinite is on Steam right now.
It's on Steam. Yeah, I mean they definitely hit those up, and I'm glad they did. So I mean if that's the route they will take, where that I can still get these through Steam, I'm okay with that. But they got to release a larger setup through Steam is the problem. They're very limited. It seems like when they're launching stuff through Steam, because like when I was looking for Halo Wars 2, it's not on Steam. I had to get that through Microsoft to get that game.
I forgot the game launched.
It did. Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Is like, if it's a game you want or it's something that's in the Xbox library, depending upon how popular it is, how well they think that's going to do, it's going to determine whether or not they give it to Steam for them to buy. If not, you're going to have to get it through them.
Well, the problem is, like, when you think about it long term, it is what you say. And that's why I'm glad the FTC is finally jumping in, because as of right now, there has been several acquisitions to where these companies are turning into super companies.
Yeah.
And Microsoft right now, it's so funny because, to be honest, even with the Microsoft-Sony thing, it's not really a competition. Sony actually uses Microsoft servers. It's sort of weird, but I remember seeing that a long time ago. They used Microsoft servers in order to use their stuff. In order to get some of those game things through.
If you remember, the Vita had Skype on it. That's a Microsoft-owned system. Well,
to be honest, that does make sense in a way, because Sony is not a computer company. So they had to get something else. Now, you could say that they could go to Amazon now, but Amazon's already trying to do its own gaming stuff with their Q-Simulator that they recently just launched. You know, but Sony definitely does not have the technotech, unless they're going to buy their own farm, like their own server farm, I don't see them doing that. So they're going to be going through someone else, obviously.
It's like, but getting back to it, it's still the main problem. It's just basically what you're saying is going to become more of an issue. Microsoft is more or less just acquiring these massive companies. Bethesda made more sense than Activision. Bethesda, from what I'm understanding, they've actually been working real close for a while. That business deal didn't just happen. It had been in the works for a while.
And that's fine when they're doing like with Bethesda.
It kind of was just I want to use a 40K reference.
Do it.
But it's sort of like, if you haven't read 40K, how the Imperium, how the Emperor of Man became the Emperor of Man. He sort of waited for like Earth and him to completely collapse, and then he just kind of stepped up and then just took it over.
Yeah, no, I definitely.
He released like his Thunder Warriors, took over Terror, made a deal with Mars, and then they just went out and started taking planets back.
Yeah. And for Activision workers, this is actually a godsend, especially if they let them do what they want to do. For Activision workers, this is actually amazing. Again, well, coming back from the consumer standpoint, for anybody that is on that was really inside the Call of Duty or anything like that side of it on any other console, this is depriving them, and this is now the second time. Like, those people are probably feeling bullied right now. Literally, they're probably the ones that's feeling like they're being picked on. No, Dewey.
So don't forget, several of those studios that are owned by Activision, like one big one I'm going to announce, Raven, is trying to unionize because of these issues that they've had with Activision. Mm-hmm. Even if they're being bought by it, they're still seeking unionization for their studio. So how is that going to work with Microsoft if this company is unionized?
I think they can make something work, to be honest with you.
I can definitely see them doing it, but it's going to take a bit. They're going to have to sit down with the union of this studio to then go from there.
When you put this much money on the table, this is not an overnight deal.
This probably
started when the Echo company started falling, and they kept free falling like that.
Microsoft wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, Microsoft probably was stepping in the background. It was, you know, talking to them, giving them hints and all that. It was kind of slowly beginning to, you know,
twist the knife.
get in there and kind of, you know, slowly influence them and help them out, and then kind of start taking the company over. It's this, like I said, when you throw down $7 billion, these amounts of money, it's not just, you can't just, and this is not an impulsive, but this is not an Amazon, ooh, that looks pretty, or that shopping network channel, ooh, Activision, $70 billion, that looks pretty, I'm going to buy it, and you just dial it up. Can I buy your company? Yeah, sure, why not? Okay, thank you. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. But. You got it.
Go ahead.
You have to have huge amount of talk with companies. They probably had a huge amount of talk with investors, including Daddy Gates, who's probably there, and
was on Skype.
Yeah,
yeah.
Having a big long talk. Yeah, I know you ain't doing well. Let's be realistic here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're doing fine. No, you're not. Let's be realistic here. Kotick, you're not doing well.
He ignored all of the signs. Literally, the Game Awards with Jeff Keighley called him out. Inadvertently, but called him out. Microsoft had called him out. Sony called him out. Nintendo, who barely does anything with Activision, at least from what I can understand, called him out. Like, and he ignored all of the signs. Yeah, he ignored all of the
signs.
That's
bad when the kid that plays by himself doesn't even want to talk to you.
Exactly.
Don't you want to play with me, Nintendo?
Yeah.
No. Like, it. The biggest thing, just to kind of recap, guys, because we went on a rant about this, is you've got the Federal Trade Commission in the EU. Like, the FTC is already revamping and modernizing their new guidelines. Linda Kahn is the newest appointment there, and she's probably not going to be as, you know, light on these guys as most other companies were, especially during nowadays with this whole tech issue we've got going on. You then have got them going to have to repair the toxic workplace environment that's ongoing. So they've got a lot of work to go through there. And now, just to kind of recap, this deal is in process, will not be finalized possibly until 2023, pending upon involvements of FTC and governments involved.
Well, Kotick kind of, when I read the thing, Kotick said he just let Microsoft deal with it because they know they'll deal with it.
Well, IGN actually wrote on it, and that's why I keep saying Kotick is done, because once this acquisition goes through, he's out.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to just leave.
I'm pretty sure he's gone no matter what.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm just saying, like, depending upon how this goes, it's like I said, because FTC is reviewing and rewriting it, because the deal is still ongoing, they have made no comments on the merger because it's still a process of a merger, but because guidelines are being reviewed, there's a possibility of possible interventions or adjustments depending upon what's found or rewritten. So it's still up in the air with that one, guys. So it's they are looking at it, but there's been no comments of any involvement about them with it. They're just stating that because of this merger that's been announced, they're doing a full review. Yeah, Nineball?
That's because... Thank you. It's because of the company and who it is. EA and Activision are probably your two biggest third-party sellers. Mm-hmm. These are the main two you come to. I mean, yeah, THQ Nordic is growing in power, but they're not there yet. Most time, if you say a third-party developer, your mind either went to EA Games or Activision.
Yeah,
these were the big two. When you take one of the big two off, you're going to turn some heads pretty fast. Okay. And like I said, outside of like I said, the only other company like I said is, that I can think of is THQ Nordic. But like I said, it's still growing. I mean, they got the Metro series. They do have Kingdoms of Amalur, which they're working on, and they've bought and they're reviving it.
I would say Rockstar's.
Yeah, 2K Games. Yeah, I almost forgot about them.
Yeah, 2K Games is there. They definitely have their specialized audience, but they are there.
Yeah, 2K, but their development, I wouldn't say it's on the level of those two.
True.
I mean, almost every sport, almost every genre you can think of, probably at least one EA or Activision game that is there.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a problem. When you take something like this off, I mean, I see where people are coming from, because you won't have, and they're scared of a lack of competition. And what this does, it creates a toxic area. It's sort of like a Walmart moving into. So I don't know if anybody's ever watched like a video about, like, I watched this documentary on Walmart and what it does to communities.
Oh, yeah. No, because I've seen it happen.
Yeah, it comes into an area and it just completely destroys, like, mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. And it just leaves desolate wastelands. And what happened is, if that place goes out of business, it's just a desert.
Because no one can get back into it because you're having to compete
with
Walmart.
Yeah, and this could be a huge issue with that. They're worried about that. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, and I understand the business aspect. I do agree on to quite a few levels on that, but I do understand, too, this is a business thing. But, I mean, when you've had people that's been used to playing that for years on, say, a console, the only one I could really make an excuse for is Nintendo. When Nintendo got, well, Bayonetta 2 and 3 made sense because they didn't have money for Bayonetta 2. Bayonetta 2 almost didn't even come out. The only reason why Bayonetta 2 launched is because Nintendo fronted the money for them.
And it's a Nintendo game only. That's why.
Yeah. That's the reason why it became a Nintendo game.
Yep. 3 is also Nintendo only, if I remember.
Yeah. Because they fronted the money for them.
Yeah. They got good reviews on Nintendo, and that's it.
This is kind of, in a way, and I hate to say it, it's kind of kicking a man down. They see him down, and they, you know, we'll help you, but
you're going to have to give up your freedom.
You got to give up everything.
Mm. And you talk about like kicking a man down as far as like Xbox, like being like, "Hey, we'll take you in, Activision, but
we're gonna have to come." But
it's gonna be under us now.
Yeah, but as they're putting on their medical surgical gloves and pulling out the power tools to scrape.
I got that image of Transformers. You remember that image of Transformers when, like, I don't know, have you ever seen the Transformers movie, Flash?
Yeah, which one?
Okay. The movie, the 1984 movie, the cartoon movie in 1984.
Okay, so the one where you're like, the fire truck and stuff like that.
Huh?
You're talking about Optimus Prime as a fire truck itself, like, right? Like, not a fire truck, but yeah, fire truck, right?
No.
The cartoon one where he's a, like, Transformers.
He was a
truck. Yeah, what are you talking about?
He was a truck originally.
But the planet-eating thing?
with
Unicron.
Yeah, he was still a semi truck then.
Yes. What did I say? Fire truck? Oh, I didn't mean semi truck. Yeah, blue. He's red and blue. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, I just got that image in my brain of like, you remember that scene where like Megatron was about to be eaten and then he just had to play and then he like goes back on his decision of not going with him and then he just changed him into Galvatron.
Yeah.
And I feel like
that's like, wait a minute. No. Like, this is Activision. Megatron's Activision and Unicron's Microsoft. Like,
he just changed him and just changing him. Behold. Galvatron.
This is perfection. And the rest, and Sony as Optimus Prime goes, that ain't right.
Yeah,
and then you got Bumblebee and Nintendo over there going, definitely no.
Yeah,
this is going to be pretty big. I mean, I'm gonna have to read more into it. Probably watch some more. I've seen a couple of my channels on there, and I really need to do more into this because I was kind of busy at work. Well, sort of busy. I was able to get home a little early, but. It's this is going to have some huge ramification. It's also like going to say it's going to have huge ramification on trading in general. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the FTC with them stepping in, they're going to have a close eye on Microsoft. This should stop them from buying up everything. But like I said, what do they do with the properties? You know, they're going to release them. I feel like their best move with them is basically you're probably going to release WoW as part of Xbox live services. If you do that, you will get more subscribers. And to be honest, the sheer amount of subscribers will easily make up the amount of money. So WoW boasted well over 20 million players.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get like the team back functioning again, because to be honest, repairing the damage won't be as hard, because to be honest, you're going underneath all new management altogether. Yeah. With them going underneath the Microsoft flag now, the problem's solved. Okay, Bobby Kotick 10-1 as part of the deal probably negotiated his terms of surrender, and basically I'm leaving and I'm going to desert myself on an island and you won't have to see me again.
Yeah.
So I'll just take my retirement and go. Most of the higher ups are probably doing the same thing, and they'll have Microsoft take over, and they'll be able to easily clean it.
Yeah.
Are you going?
Yeah,
cleaning is going to be like that one visceral cleaning game that's on Steam where the VR and all is where you just go around just picking up like cuts and dead bodies and everything. Yeah. Like, that's kind of going to be like the cleaning of Activision. It's like, you're going to have a lot of shit to clean up in there.
Yeah. And again, I think, again, business-wise, this does make sense, but at the same time, also on the business front, you don't want to... All right, so you guys remember this, and this is the last thing I'll say about this before we move on to the next story on here. But you guys do remember that, I think it was just last year, beginning of last year, when Xbox had purposely, astronomically increased their Xbox Gold prices, trying to force everyone to get Game Pass. Like it literally was something that was ridiculous. Like, I think normal Xbox Gold monthly is like $9 a month. Because then you're able to do an annual subscription for $60 a month, which is very similar to PlayStation Plus. They ended up increasing the price on Xbox Gold to, I think it was like $30 or $40 a month, which is ridiculous. It was absolutely insane. And people gave it a huge backlash to the point to where that news was announced on a Friday. And that Saturday, they reversed the prices. It was like, we hear you. We're sorry. We understand. We did wrong. This right here, what they're doing, is another sneaky way of forcing gamers to get Game Pass. That's what this is. They're trying to get.
I don't think this is sneaky at all. This is
Again, you said it yourself that you would be more transparent. Just be like, nope, yeah, we did this. This is what we want to do. That's not what they're doing. They still are kind of being on the sneaky part by saying it's not our intent to take these games away from gamers. Yeah, it is. That's your intent, because again, you did this with your own subscription service. And your fans were upset about that. It was clear to see that. And they're like, all right, yeah, we'll go and reverse it. Now you're doing it with actual acquisition of studios. You did it with Bethesda. Now you're doing it with a Call of Duty. And one was an RPG heavy studio, and now you're doing it with one that's heavy on MMORPGs as well as shooting. Like, you're trying to drive as many people you can to Game Pass, which, again, on a marketing ploy is smart, but at the same time, on a consumer front, which is still part of the business, you still want to keep your consumers happy. There's going to be a lot of consumers out there that's not...
Oh, they're going to keep... The only bad... Well, to be honest, on that front, the only consumers that won't be happy. If you're an Xbox consumer, this really doesn't bother you either way.
Exactly. Oh, no, it doesn't. Exactly. Yeah, no. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, again, when it comes back down to it, like, the statement that they made, it wasn't like, we want Xbox gamers to be happy. They said, we want gamers to be happy. Is this making gamers happy? It's making Xbox ones happy. It's not making any other that's on Nintendo or if... Anybody, I don't know exactly what that means for Steam. Like, for when the Steam Deck comes out, it's not making PlayStation fans happy.
It means possible some content, depending upon what Xbox feels like giving to Steam. You know?
Yeah,
so far, they've been pretty good with Steam. It's not much that they have not really held back from Steam.
Yeah.
Like, Back 4 Blood, all those games that came out on Game Pass, even Grounded on Steam.
Yeah, Grounded's on Steam. Well,
Back 4 Blood is third party. It's not acquired by anybody.
Yeah, that's right. It's Total Rock.
Yeah, Total Rock.
But like Gears is normally Xbox only. That one's on Steam.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
Which ones of Gears?
It's only Gears 5. So, but that's the thing. That's the only problem I've got is just they're not giving us access to the older content on Steam, which would be fantastic. I mean, you did get like the Halo Master Chief Edition. You can get that on Steam, which gives you access to that. I don't see anything for Gears on there, which I would love to play through the Gears series again.
Oh my god, I love
that. That's on game. All of them are on Game Pass, but yeah.
Game Pass.
Point exactly. Yeah.
I want to play with Nineball on Steam. I want to go blowing some heads up and chainsawing some people and curb stomping them.
That particular game, I can't really say much because that one did come out on original Xbox.
Which makes sense.
It did, but it's like it's been out for so long. It's like, what's the harm of putting it on gaming?
I want to play the PlayStations. I want to play Metal Gear 4, Guns of the Patriots. It's never coming out on Steam.
And that makes sense. That in itself does make sense. But again, like, those were stuff that initially came out on Xbox only or PlayStation only. Call of Duty is not in that realm. Call of Duty is on everything, and you're taking it away and be like, nope, it's Xbox now. That's where I kind of feel. Again, for me, individual, doesn't bother me at all because I have them all. It doesn't even really necessarily bother you guys that much because you guys have a PC that you guys can have the option. You guys don't have to drop $500 on another console or $800+ on a PC to build one or anything like that. You guys don't have to do that because you guys already invested in that already previously. These other gamers that don't have those means to do it, now they're the ones that suffer the consequences of this. And that's the part where I'm like, that's kind of shady on Xbox. That kind of was a little shady.
I really want to see what Sony does, though.
And that's the part, like, I don't want them, like, as much as I would love for Sony to acquire, like, Square Enix and Rockstar or something like that, I kind of don't want them to do that. Because then I feel like this is just not going to end. Like, because it's going to be the same thing.
It's going to end.
It's just not going to end pretty. You know what I mean? It's just ultimately, I don't know. Like, we're going to have to see what Sony Spartacus is going to look like, which actually is going to be kind of leading into our story number 2/3. On here, backwards compatibility. I'm going to actually go through both of them because they both kind of have the same weight. I have one
thing to say on the first one.
You said what?
I have one more thing to say on the first one.
Oh, go for it.
Fine.
The last thing I was just going to say that they've also got to deal with is, and we kind of mentioned it with, like, you know, they're saying that they're going to repair and rebuild and all, but is, and it kind of goes in with them buying it for themselves, putting the games on Xbox Pass, and then also with the toxic environment and everything. It's just, it's the public's full opinion of the Activision Blizzard name in and of itself and games underneath that name. So, you know, there's a lot of frustrations I know with, like, the delay in Diablo 4, which I'm still waiting for. Overwatch 2, you know, I mean, eventually, but you're going to have to wait a year for them to get the company and then however long for them to restructure and repair the company.
Oh, they're already working on that.
I know they're working on, but technically they really shouldn't be until they get the full merger complete.
Oh, they already make they making plans on that. They got it.
I know they're making plans and all, but it's like
we got plans for you.
Like I said, you know, Emperor Palpatine, you know, Unicron, Microsoft. What? But, you know, it's there's the dislike of how there's not a continuation of StarCraft. Like, we need StarCraft 3, like, because the ending of StarCraft 2, Legacy of the Void, left it for, like, we're getting towards the final confrontation. But we're not giving it yet. It's like, I need this. Like, the story is just so good, and StarCraft 2 was phenomenal with the way they did it.
I don't want to go on to.
We can have that argument later. But it's just, there's a lot of stuff that people have been waiting on. Like, in, as one thing Nineball said, it was like also repairing and fixing WoW. You know, so there's that. They have to get that going to help kind of repair the Blizzard icon. They're like, well, it's Microsoft. I'm like, it's still Blizzard. And we still are waiting for this stuff from them. So there's that, too, that they have to work through is getting those IPs that people wanted out to them as soon as they get this merger done. So they've got a lot on their plate. They went to the non-existent Golden Corral buffet and just layered it up and said, all right, let's go, you know. The Activision buffet.
So actually, I as I'm looking through this, I'm actually going to combine three stories. Because they all kind of go together. It's going to be story 2, 3, and 5.
Ooh, a triple hitter.
Yeah.
It's a three-for-one deal, folks. By now. Only currently.
So on here, backwards compatibility on the PS5. So Alessandra Barbosa from GameSpot says this. A new patent filed with Sony with the PS5 lead designer Mark Cerny as one of its inventors might give indication of improvements coming to the console's backwards compatibility. The new patent filed last year but approved this month makes specific mentions of backwards compatibility with the patent detailing a solution that allows current console hardware to mimic older ones to accurately run games. Processing clock speeds can often make games designed for slower, harder hardware does not function at all. So being able to dynamically change this for application in question seems useful. This patent isn't detailing an entirely new solution, however, with the Sony and Cerny having filed similar patents with the similar use cases as in 2017, as indicated by the related patents section in the filing. This patent is, however, the first to make the specific mention of alternative frequencies for applications and some lines in the film filing making the differentiation between newer, more powerful hardware and slower revisions. That's story number one. Story number two. Spencer on... I'm going to jump to story number four real quick because that's going to... It's all ties together. Story five, I should say. PS4 is still in the mix. So CC Jiang from Kotaku... that says it's been slightly over a year since PlayStation 5 launch, and it's still incredibly difficult for anyone to get their hands on Sony's flagship console. The Sony's solution for this shortage, Sony's planning on to produce more PS4 consoles this year. Wait, what? According to Bloomberg, Sony had originally planned to discontinue the products of the PS4 late last year, plans which Sony officially denies. However, the ongoing shortage of chips require PS5 production to have forced Sony to reconsider their original strategy. The PS4's components are more readily available, and the console is less expensive for both Sony to make and for the consumer to purchase. As a result, Sony has decided to continue producing PS4s through 2022. The question remains, is there still a strong demand for the PS4? Well, Sony seems to think so. According to a spokesperson, quote, it is one of the best-selling consoles ever, and there is always crossover between generations. While it's true that many new and upcoming PlayStation titles, including God of War Ragnarok and Horizon Forbidden West, are available on both consoles, most people who wanted a PS4 have had 7 years to buy one. It also doesn't feel great that they give eventually buy two consoles if they wanted to stay with the PlayStation's ecosystem. So that's story number five. And then lastly, we have story number three, which is Spencer on Sony's Spartacus. So Tanner Fox from Game Rant says this in their story. Launched in 2017, Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass initiative... Daddy. Yeah! Microsoft Game Pass initiative provides subscribers with an ever-changing collection of new titles to try out. from huge releases to Halo Infinite to relatively niche indie titles like the Kinect supporting Space Warlord Oregon Trading Simulator, the service has fundamentally changed how many Xbox and PC gamers play. Recent reports have suggested that Sony seeks to mirror the Xbox Game Pass model, and current Xbox head Phil Spencer seems to approve of the idea. While Microsoft beat Sony to the punch by several years, Spencer emphasized that his team shouldn't see Sony's apparent eagerness to replicate the Xbox Game Pass initiative as a form of validation. Rather, he points out the services was something of a reaction to the market trends that Sony is more or less coming to the same conclusion they themselves reached prior to the announcement of Xbox Game Pass in 2017. Spencer also affirmed his belief in allowing one access. Hold on. What's that, son? All right, so Spencer also affirmed that belief in allowing day one access for games who aren't playing Xbox consoles and making more titles available via cloud streaming. Features speculated Sony will include in their services. End quote and stories. So I say all that to say, as my son is singing, I say all that to say that the reason I believe, all right, Phil Spencer thinks that this is a good deal for Sony to make. Okay, cool. Whatever Spartacus turns out to be. I didn't include it in here, but Phil Spencer does expect certain games to be day and date, like Game Pass. I don't think that that's really going to be a thing. I think he's just kind of been like, oh yeah, our competitors would definitely do that. Like, I think that's kind of like almost like a shot at Sony to do that.
I also think they're going to do that. Sony, I feel
Sony's not good.
Yeah, they're more appreciative of the gaming community, I feel like, in terms of, like, they understand, so they're just going to say, we've got the online service, but you can get them other places.
Yeah, it is, like, again, it comes down to the, because Sony had touched up on that previously in the years, and they had, and they literally were like, are the quality of games, like, is, it wouldn't make sense to put it on a subscription service because of the quality of games that we do have. Like, they want to go for that premium experience versus...
They already said it's not going to be day one, though, from what I caught off
of. Well, right now, the Spartacus has not been confirmed. Everything that we're saying right now is rumors. Even the announcement is a rumor. Like, the it coming to spring, that's just speculation right now. Kind of going back to the PS4 backwards compatibility / PS4, I think that all that kind of ties into what Spartacus will eventually inevitably be. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to have yourself a Game Pass style subscription, then you're going to want to do some stuff that Xbox is doing, i.e. making sure that your Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, they all still connect. They're all in one hub. And technically, PlayStation has done that before with the PS3, PS4, Vita, and PS4. It just wasn't exactly to the caliber of how it is right now with Xbox. So with that being said, if they're doing right now, if they're going to be putting more of their stuff on a PlayStation Game Pass style, aka a Spartacus, and you're already having trouble getting PS5s out there, but they're going to be cross-gen anyway, you might as well go ahead and be able to sell more PS4s out there for anyone that didn't get inside the PlayStation ecosystem before, but they can still play these games with their friends when Spartacus launches.
This, I mean, I see what you're saying on these. The for me, the the Phil Spencer, God, I don't know what to think of that guy. He's like, I don't know.
Megatron.
I have like a bunch of like movie references, kind of like Stepfather or something. He's like that guy that just destroys your life while smiling at you. Oh, that's cute. I'll show you this instead. The way Sony's doing it, and with the, I see what they're doing with the backwards compatibility, I think the first two actually make sense together, story two and three, you know, on the back of reality. I feel like they're trying to incorporate the whole library.
Yeah, well, that is, again, rumor, but they did mention that from PlayStation 1 all the way to PS4, they're trying to have that on Spartacus.
Sony, Microsoft has already did that.
Right.
I'm able to play, like, when I had my Xbox One, I was able to put it, I think I still can, I need to check. I was able to play, like, Fatal Frame 2 for my original Xbox, run it straight through, and it recognized it.
Exactly.
There was a library, if I remember right, for when like they did that for the 360 and Xbox. Like there was like a library list that of only these games would work. And I can't remember if it was like an architecture issue or what, but they had a large list. Don't get me wrong, it was a giant list. But it's like you're having to go through just to confirm whether or not your game's going to work before you try and even stick it into the device. You know, because you don't want to. You didn't want to risk that red ring of death for no reason. You know?
No, it's working on my not on a 360, but my Series X.
Oh, on the Series X.
Oh, you got a
Series X? It doesn't.
No, not a Series X. My Xbox One. I'm sorry. I confuse the names. Okay,
Is if they would name it one thing. FS, like what are we doing? NSFM. Wait, no, wrong way. But no, that's good because that means that they've been increasing that library capability for the backwards compatibility. I just remember when I had the 360 and trying to go, which I still have my 360, and trying to go like from Xbox into that, there was a limited library that you could play, do that crossword compatibility. But the day it kept going is good. And I'm glad PlayStation is getting into that aspect. And the comments they made about it, kind of, they make sense because there are, because as a gamer on PC and all, like I've got a lot of old games, like I've got my old MechWarrior games and stuff that I really want to play on my PC, but I can't because
I got Mortal Kombat.
Well, I haven't found a port yet for mine. I think there's a port out there for MechWarriors 2, if I remember, but I got like MechWarriors, like I got like the old stuff, like MechWarriors 1 and all with the clan packs and everything. I can't play them on my current system because it's a really weird codex that's in there. Was like an old security codex that I can't get rid of that it just will not allow it to run and all. So there are stuff in some older games that just, and we could talk about this off stream now, so yeah, we could sidetrack.
Yeah, I'm
but
sorry.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's like the older the game is the older the architecture of that game. So trying to put on newer systems that have different compatibilities, frame rates, you know, codings and stuff, there are some things that do need to be tweaked. And the fact that they are looking into that to try and get that up is very good. Should they have had that beforehand? Obviously, but you know the fact that they're working on it, I do thank them for it.
I do have one quick little comment that impossible, but no. I would love to see, like, if you're going to go the backwards compatibility route, I would love to see those game files that I had saved on my PS1 and PS2 be able to be updated on my PS5. You can't because you had memory cards back then.
I will point out Nintendo's recent attempt with that.
Well, even that, I mean,
they didn't even remove the coding for saving and didn't even change it.
Like, yeah. That's what I was about to say. I would, in a perfect world, if I'm able to go back and pick up where I left off on the bouncer on my PS5 and be able to play through all those scenarios, which, by the way, I really hope that the bouncer's going to be included.
My question would be is, where are you going to stick the memory card
data? It would be if they did something like that, you had to start from scratch again.
Yeah, you would have to.
Yeah.
There'd unless be no way
unless someone built a USB converter that could plug into a old PlayStation memory card to allow you to download from there, I highly doubt it.
Yeah, and again, that's just obviously it's not ever going to happen. It's just wishful thinking. Like, that would be cool if they did that. If I wanted to go back to that nostalgic type games that I used to play, Legend of Dragoon, I would love to pick up where I left off on that game. I was at the end of disc one.
I feel like actually with Sony, one of the biggest systems isn't what you think. I think one of the biggest system problem was actually the PlayStation 3.
But
ton of complaints about the PlayStation 3's architecture was one of the biggest issues.
Really?
That's why they did the overhaul for 4. That's why it's a completely different overhaul.
Yeah, whatever advanced chip or whatever system they put in there made developing games for that system hell.
I remember
hearing that. They have a lot of problems. That's why some of the game stuff from that when they have such a hard time with. Because that system is so complex and weird.
Yeah.
With the, let me get back to these other ones. I'm glad to see that they're going. I'm wondering how they're going to do there. If Spartacus is the answer, because I feel like we're heading towards it, how much will they put that in? How early will they put their games in? Xbox is already touting day one access. I don't think Sony should. I seriously doubt Sony's going to put all their new games day one access.
It would be way too. If they did that, that would be absolutely stellar. They're not going to do it though. They're not going to do it like that. It doesn't. It kind of goes against their MO when they're talking about again premium gaming. Like that doesn't make sense to do on the game qualities that they currently have. Like they put a lot of production in Horizon Forbidden West, in God of War Ragnarok, in Spider-Man 2, in what's going to be Wolverine. They put a lot of production in that. There's no way that could be on a subscription service. Absolutely no way.
You can't. I mean, it depends. You can. I mean, I love, like I said, like with Mildred, I do like my AA game. And I did like the presentation. I think one of my favorites of that one was Hellblade 2. And that is coming to day one on Game Pass, which I am excited for, but I'm still going to buy anyway. The medium is absolutely beautiful. I did buy the medium, and I will be going through it. But
did you get the production scene yet?
Get the what?
Did you get through the wheelchair scene yet?
The wheelchair scene.
I guess there's a wheelchair scene in the medium. That once you get to that point, then the game itself just gets like it goes from a 5 out of 10 straight up to like a 9 out of 10.
Oh, okay. We're going to go up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. I obviously haven't played the medium, but that's literally what I've been hearing from all reviewers and gamers and stuff like that about the medium.
But I wonder how, I mean, with their service, how much will they price it? If Spartacus is that, and I feel like this one will be because Sony is attempting to compete with Microsoft. If you've noticed on the PC front, Steam has just recently released God of War.
Yeah.
The new God of War was recently released.
Yeah,
Horizon Zero Dawn was released.
Final Fantasy VII already pre-ordered.
Yes, Final Fantasy VII Remake is released on Epic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, and I'm glad that they're sticking with it. I mean, I just want to see the prices of that one. And what was the third story, real quick?
They're all kind of the one was Phil Spencer on their Game Pass style. The other one was backwards compatibility. The other one was them making more PS4s.
The PS4 thing, I guess, in some ways makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
With the shortages, at first I was kind of thinking about it, and then I was like, yeah, it makes sense with the shortages of chips and all that. You can find older stuff right now at better deals than trying to make the newer stuff, and you might have to charge a bit higher or take a bigger loss.
If you already have a PS4, then this story is not for you. This is for people that initially had an Xbox One or 360 or don't have a console and want to jump inside the ecosystem in general, and now they can get it and still play with their PS5 buddies as well as their PS4.
But I'm just wondering, they're saying throughout 2022, this probably means that this is probably going to get them in, but eventually 2023, 2024, they need to get a PS5. I feel like...
Probably 2024, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm thinking more towards the end of 2023, probably.
That's why I was thinking, at least the earliest you'd want to try and get into it is by
fall
2023, and then latest could be into maybe early spring 2024. I mean, this is kind of a good little stopgap filler while you try and maybe restock up on supplies for PS5s and all.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of like shift, like not like truly stop production on 5s, but like maybe off ship and half the production to where you're not burning as much and like having probably like a lot of downtime in production though. But yeah, I mean, I can see it definitely being a good little like, hey guys, here's a system to get you into the PS4 environment, get those PS4 games, which will then transfer over to the PS5 whenever you're able to get it. I kind of like it. I'm concerned about the pricing because I didn't see one mentioned here. So I'm wondering, are you going to keep it at the same price as it was beforehand? Or are you going to give them a discount price,
which I would hope they would be? There was an article on that. They're discounted as
before. Okay, that's good. Because I'm like, that's my big thing is like, I would hope
to. If they want to come out, basically, here goes the thing. Xbox has established themselves. If you're going to come out and you're going to come at Xbox, you got to come out swinging. So, yeah.
He's not talking about Spartacus. He's talking about the PS4s.
I was talking about the PS4s.
Oh, PS4. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, PS4. I'm sorry.
I definitely say, like, if it's lower price, good. That gets them in there, you know, allows them to buy a cheaper version, but still get good games on there. There's still a lot of good games on the 4, guys. Not going to lie. There's still a lot of the old games that are on 4. 5 is not fully built its library. For us gamers who've got it, like, you know, me, Malachi, Ninebolt, we've got our 5s, you know. Follow Malachi's tips and tricks if you want to try and get one. You know, he's definitely got the in-house know. You know, he's a hacker. You know, he bots.
That, for Twitch, he's lying. He's literally just joking. I don't want no DCM striker or whatever. Like, oh, we found a hacker, guys.
You're a hacker. Like, he's not. He just watched the environments and flowed with it. But there's a lot of games on 4. So don't get me wrong. There's a good environment to get started in. Get your feet wet, especially at a lower price, and then go. Spartacus, I kind of agree with you, Nineball. Pretty much, it's kind of like one of those WWE matches where, like, Microsoft's already in the ring, spouting their shit. You guys, just, instead of coming in, like, trying to do your own stuff, you just got to walk in with a chair and just clap them over the head with it, is what you got to do. You just got to come in swinging. So, I can't wait to see more on that and what they're going to do. I do hope that they don't do, in my opinion, the day one launches only on PlayStation. I hope they kind of show that they are for the gaming community in a whole, regardless of Xbox, you know, PlayStation, Nintendo, or PC. So I hope they do launch stuff that are from their companies onto other systems as well.
The only thing about that is their first party titles will be their first party titles regardless.
If it's theirs, I understand that completely. But anything else, like, I feel like that they should definitely. I'm hoping they do, but if not, then I'm like, right, you know, we're getting into this type of fight, you know, so, but I definitely agree that they need to come out and definitely give their all into it to really counteract or stand up to the Game Pass. So,
Rob, I want to make a couple predictions here now that we're on that topic, real quick. Starting with you there, Nineball. I mean, starting with you there, Mil. Actually, we'll start with you, Nineball, then Mildewy, then me. All right, we know that there's rumored to be 3 tiers for Spartacus, which from a reliable source, so more than likely that's going to happen. What do you think each one of these price points are going to be at? And we'll go on an annual basis. So right now it's $60 a year for existing PlayStation Plus. So what does that say for you as far as how the future is going to be for these subscription tiers?
They will probably have one for that one for the $60 Plus. This will probably come with the normal. You know, like you got those greatest hit titles. Mm-hmm. This would be probably considered your tier one. Tier two would probably be about $20 more, maybe about
80.
I'm a 60, yeah, 70, 80 the bucks. And then you would have maybe the one with the first party titles, and that would be probably a tier three one.
Now, so you're saying like a $20 increase for each level?
Maybe, actually. So I mean,
60, 80, 100.
So it would probably be like, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I was thinking more down the line of like monthly, because I was thinking, you know, like how much is it monthly? Probably like a 9. I'm thinking for me like a 9 to 10, a 15, and maybe a 20, 25 or something like that would probably be the 3 tiers.
Let's see.
I was about to say, I know that Mildewy did the math for the Game Pass Ultimate. I mean, that was what, 180?
Yeah, it's year? Like $15 a month, and it's like for 12 months, it's like 180.
So, I mean, you would have to, if you're going to charge people on a third tier, you would have to make it tantalizing. You might not have a day one launch, but you might have maybe a week to a month after it launches. Then it comes to your tier.
Or and
then
it'll come to
sort of, yeah, something like that maybe too. You might get access to the, well, I wouldn't say just the demos.
It might be like a, well, actually, they didn't mention demos is what they're toying with, but I wouldn't be surprised if they let you do like an early access for like a week, and then after that, the early access trial period is over. You have to buy the game if you want it.
So, 1 month for PlayStation is $10, 3 months is $25, 12 months is $60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is their current membership, and that's including the greatest hits, the two free games in the PlayStation Plus, you know, throughout the year, you know, for each month throughout the year, Which those prices could range from anything from like a $10 game up to a $60 game, guys. Just, you know, throwing it out there.
Yeah.
That's what you get also when you buy a PS4 and buy the subscription, just saying, you know. So you've got those three tiers currently.
So okay. Asking the question on that one. So are you sticking with the 60, 80, 100, the 9-ball?
I probably will. If it's like a... Either that or you'll have to go down in price. You would have to drop the other tier down, like the gold. You would just get just gold for maybe 5, 10, and it would drop to maybe 50. And then you would do 60 and 80.
Okay. What about you there, Mildewy?
So, with the way they've got their membership set down currently, and then you got the Game Pass one, I don't know Xbox's memberships. I'm actually going to pull
theirs is exactly the same. It's $60 a year, and you get two free games. You get one Xbox OG game along with it, because you get like the two free, and then you get one XG, one OG Xbox game. One, I can't remember if it was one or two.
I think it's two and two.
Two and two, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Get two that start off the beginning of the year, of the month, and then halfway through you get two others.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so and then you're going to have to then... So, and that's separate from Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's Game Pass is 15 a month. Oh, so, no, it's Game Pass Ultimate, 15.
Yeah. So it's like $8 for Game Pass normal or something, and Ultimate is 15, which is what we did the calculations on. If you bought the Ultimate because it's like a $7 differential, like you're spending like $180 a month. So, I feel like PlayStation isn't going to go the Xbox route of doing two different subscriptions. I feel like they may kind of merge it together and kind of maybe go some almost kind of along the prices that Nineball's talking about. But I feel like they would probably still offer the capability of a 1 month run, you know, per month. But it might be, you know, I mean, there's multiple ways you could do it. I mean, you could literally actually do an add-on price. Like, literally, like, do you want to get... Well, no, maybe they should keep it separate. Now that I'm thinking about it. Still keep your month subscriptions normal and then kind of do what Xbox or Game Pass did and just keep them separate to where it's like you probably would do... Depending upon what you're offering access to and all, I could say maybe another $10 for a month. Possibly... See, this is very interesting of the three tiers. Actually, let me clarify this with you, Nineball. Were yours separate of the PlayStation membership, or was yours inclusive of the PlayStation membership?
Well, for clarification, Spartacus is the PlayStation membership revamped. So it's not going to be separate. PlayStation Plus is Spartacus.
That's what I was trying to figure out then.
That's also PlayStation Now. They're combining PlayStation Plus and Now together
to create Spartacus, which is the place. So, which is going to be the PC and their subscription.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. So then, I think they're going to keep the tiers that they've got here in terms of monthly. I don't think they're going to do differentials and preferences of, are you going to be a gold membership? Are you going to be a silver membership? Are you going to be a bronze membership? I don't feel like they're going to do that. I think more or less the tiers are probably going to be. The monthlies, which is probably going to be for 1 month, is going to be possibly around 15 to 20. The 3 months, I would say probably around 30 to 35. And then the 12 months, I would say probably anywhere from 70 to 80. The reason I'm saying that is just because PlayStation has put so much together in with each other. Like they just have combined so much with their membership towards, like, if you've got the premium, like if you've got the PlayStation Plus membership, you've got almost access to everything for $60 a month. Now that they're going to offer it to PC, I can agree to an increase of price of $20 or so to each membership level and still get everything, you know, and that's inclusive of day one launches and everything. They still give you access to everything day one with downloads on the PlayStation Plus membership. You just have to have that membership.
Only problem I see with that is basically Microsoft to set up a 15
for a month. No, I said anywhere from 15 to 20. So, like, literally, it's like you could literally add $10 onto the first one to make it a $20 for a 1 month subscription. Microsoft's Ultimate is 15.
Yeah, that's what I have.
You could either match or up it by $5.
But you would have to justify
it. And that's for 1 month. Well, but that's because you're getting access to the justification, Nineball, is that you're getting not only access to all this content on PlayStation, you're getting access to it on PC as well. So it's opening that door to the PC instead of, and it's combined into one price.
PlayStation has had, let's say, Rocky. They put PlayStation Now. It's actually on PC.
It is. No, and that's the Spartacus is the revamping of all this. It's combining the two and making it better.
Yeah,
and that's why I don't think it's going to be a tier system of gold, bronze, silver, and gold. I think it's just going to be one, 3, and 12, and you're just going to have an increase in pricing of the membership.
And that's the part I wanted to clarify, because there is marketing in there that is saying that the rumor is that the tier one is going to be standard PlayStation Plus, how it is. Tier two is going to be access to all the whole PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now library, and I think it was like PS 1 through 4, 3 games, and then the tier three is access to tier one PS 1 through PS 5 plus all the other subscription stuff in general. So it's not like a monthly thing. Yeah, it literally is like if you're depending on what you do. Think of a DSW. Whenever they have the Club Elite, a Gold Elite, they have different perks. That's what it is. So it is a tier system.
So. Are they I'm guessing then. So they're going to keep the normal subscription stuff then, but the tier one would be the 12 month subscription, which is the normal PlayStation Plus. Tier two is going to be the next level up, which is going to include the Plus and Now, which is considered Spartacus at this point. Hmm. Plus access, I think you said 3 and 4 games.
Because the whole think about
this is the first time I've read into it, guys. Like, so I apologize for misconstruing this. This one's completely slipped my radar.
Yeah.
I was still blown away for Activision's.
Yeah, I was about to say, just imagine that PlayStation Plus goes away and PlayStation Now is just nothing. They're completely restructuring it. They're still going to call it Plus, but it'll be like PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Plus, and PlayStation Plus Plus Plus.
So then you've got the 12 months, which is probably going to stay the same at 60.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have the next year, which I would probably say it's still going to be 12 months. And if it's got PlayStation 4, 3 games, and PlayStation Now, I could probably say you could get away with anywhere from a $30 to a $40 increase with what they're offering. And then for the Ultimate, which would be everything, all the, like you said, PlayStation 1 libraries, 2, 3, 4, plus, you know,
and they whatever, did mention premium PS5. Parks. They did mention PS5 games, too.
So, a larger library there. So, that one, I would probably say, off of the base one. So, let's go. So, Tier 1, 60. I'm going to go Tier 2 as 90. Actually, no, we're going to do 99.
Okay, the good old
99.999. You know.
Yeah.
So first one is $59.99.
I hate that
second
price.
Second one is
not exactly 60.
The second one would be $99.99, and then I'm gonna say the third one would probably be $149.99. So not exactly the full $180 that Xbox is, but and now that could change. I'm shooting on the lower end just because, with the issues they've had with backwards compatibility in there, now that everything's been explained to me about what's being offered in there, I don't know how much is going to be offered from PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 into the architecture and gameplay capabilities for PlayStation 5 and on PC. Now, if they're able to really give us a large library and a good amount of games, I could probably say maybe matching
Game Pass,
Xbox at Game Pass at $180. I could see that because they're offering a large amount. But like I said, because of my concern is just because of how much backwards compatibility they've got available, I don't see them having a lot currently, unless there's something that I am completely missing, like I just missed currently with this Game Pass update. Or, not Game Pass, Spartacus update. You know that. Anyways, so I feel like that's going to be kind of where it's going to be shooting for. The end one is adjustable depending upon what's being offered. But I feel like they definitely would go that high if you're going to go those routes.
I I'm kind of in the same boat too as well. I think it's good. I think this tier one is going to be 60. I think I'm kind of indifferent. Like, I'm right in between you guys for tier two. I think it'll be anywhere between 80 to 100. And I think PlayStation will surprise us and have the highest one be 120. That's what I think it will be, mainly because they surprised us with the price of the console. Like,
that's annually and not
Annually. Yeah. Monthly, no one's doing that price monthly. But yeah.
not on PlayStation. I mean, yes, PlayStation offers a monthly now, but mainly a lot of players prefer the
I do mine annually. Yeah. Plus, on top of that, taking consideration, normally around November, which I don't know if Spartacus would do the same thing, but normally around November is when you can get Plus for discounted amounts. So yeah, so you can save people more money on top of that.
They probably will put it on sale because, to be honest, you want to make it tantalizing and pull people over.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're still getting, like, even just for the base tier. That's why I said they're leaving the base plus tier is 60, because even at sale, that's a good price for a full year of games, and you get two free games a month, and those games can range anywhere in pricing, and it's like random, completely random too. So there's a large library they can pull from as well to give you free games. So it's a good deal. Like, I feel like it's a very good deal, and there's very good structuring there. And then just adding on to it, just depending upon what you package into those next two tiers, will affect pricing. I think they could go up to $100 for tier two, depending upon what they throw in there, especially with four and three games. The concern is the third tier, which is concerning their whole library, but with their issues with backwards compatibility, I'm kind of wondering how that is going to work, really, in terms of getting those games ported over, especially, you know, going back to what you said before, Malachi, with the PlayStation memory cards. You know, Nintendo had this exact issue where people tried to save a game, and they're like, there's not a Nintendo save card recognized. I'm like, well, no shit. It's on a freaking Switch.
Now, to be fair, I will say that you can still get PlayStation 1 games on your PS4. Like, I've been able... That's why I played my when I went back and I was getting my butt kicked on Final Fantasy VIII when I just could not beat Adel. Remember when I was talking about that and I stayed until like 8 in the morning trying to beat him, ripping my hair out? That was on my PS4. So, like, there's ways to do it. It's just, how are they going to go about it? So we'll kind of have to see what that looks like. I do want to jump on over with a couple quick ones for you guys just to throw it out there and something to think about. Well, this was more on the lines of me and It's the Nightball. Final Fantasy 14 is returning. So Brian Ashcraft from Kotaku has said this in a story, saying that Final Fantasy 14 is so popular that Square Enix stopped selling the game last December. The servers were over capacity, causing long waits and impacting the experience. Now, producer Naoki Yoshida says digital versions of the game will once again be available for purchase starting January 25th, thanks to the beefed up data centers. This news was amongst the details that Yoshida announced in his latest Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker roadmap. Quote, since officially launching December 7th last year, Endwalker has experienced extremely high levels of congestion, causing our players a great deal of frustration, wrote Yoshida. Quote, the task of rebalancing jobs also remains, and we will continue working on this and other adjustments. A little tidbit in there, they are actually buffing up some of a lot of character classes on a recent article that I actually read up. So that's just a little update for anyone that is interested in trying to jump inside Final Fantasy XIV, is that Final Fantasy XIV digital version is returning. It is a monthly subscription, so it is something that is, I think it's like $12 a month. I gladly pay that because I love this game. It's absolutely fantastic to me.
You're a Final Fantasy nerd.
I am, and I will embrace every bit of that.
Oh, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying there's a reason you hardcore into it. Nineball's hardcore into it too, but it's Nineball.
Story is great. The world is beautiful, and I just love what they're doing with that. The community is awesome too. And a couple of fun ones for you guys, which we actually talked a little bit on this. I know I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. You can
skip that first one.
No, I'm going to talk about it. My Hero Academia Battle Royale is coming, and Wesley LeBlanc from Game Informer says this in their article. Bandai Namco has revealed My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble, a free-to-play Battle Royale coming soon to the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Oh, coming to Switch too. This Battle Royale set in the universe of the popular manga turned anime, My Hero Academia was announced in the latest issue of Weekly Jump, a Japanese magazine, as reported by Gametsu. All that we can glean of the game so far is what's shown on the Weekly Jump, which Gametsu has two screenshots of, so be sure to check out the report of some more details in Japanese and multiple in-game screenshots. quote, team up to win a 24-player rumble in a multiplayer action, the magazine reads. According to the reveal, Bandai Namco has plans for a closed beta test for My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble, which is not unusual for battle royales or free-to-play games for the matter. As for those who expect the game, so we see All Might, Shoto Todoroki, Katsuki Bakugo, and of course Izuku Midoriya. End quote. End story. I do want to throw out there too as well. I did try to sign up for the beta. It's all in Japanese. You have to have a Japanese account. I'm very excited about this because I think, like, again, the show in general has a lot of tournaments that is very similar to this style. It is battle royale, which is very, very polluted, if you will. But I think if any battle royale is going to work in this fashion, I think this is definitely up there, and I cannot wait for this. The last little fun one on here is Steam Deck on Track. John Carson from Game Informer says in their article, in what feels like a rare positive update regarding a supply in tech sector, Valve has announced its delivery estimations of the Steam Deck are currently on track. The update, which was posted on the Steam community site, gives the good news that the first batch of handheld PCs will ship out in late February. By now, we're all well-versed in supply chain issues, challenges presented by working remotely during the pandemic and chip shortages, some of which delayed the Steam Deck once from its original launch window. Valve says that that's not going to be the case again, at least for the first batch of devices, saying, quote, it looks like it will be able to start getting these out the door by the end of February, end quote, end story. So, Nineball, me and you both have our Steam Deck pre-ordered. I can't remember which gig level you said that you had.
I got that big one.
Oh, yeah, I got the big one,
too. What was the levels again?
Oh, I have to look it up. Hold on. Let me go through it.
I got it right now.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, but all I know is that, yeah, there's like a... The one that me and Nineball has is the one that's like $650 or something like that. And, yeah, and I cannot wait for this Steam Deck to come in. I can't wait to start playing my PC-style games on my 4K TV.
But they allow you to play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll break that, though, and we'll work together on that. You guys will help me.
Well, no, I'm saying with what they allow, because the one thing I heard is one of the concerns is just that the library currently... Last I checked, and I haven't checked up on this recently, is the library is not too huge, because the problem is the Steam Deck only has X amount of capabilities that can go through with the GPU and CPU. So a lot of those bigger games, unless the developers go in and adjust the parameters to have a Steam Deck version, or are able to lower those graphics to match to the Steam Deck's maximum capabilities, some games may not appear on the Steam Deck. And I think there was like one or two other things they mentioned, but it's like I had to go back and reread. But I'm hoping that they've been able to get that list up bigger. Now, granted, any indie games that are out there, I'm pretty sure will be able to be played on it. You know, there's a lot of games that can, probably a lot of them that can be played on minimal settings, or, you know, at least mid settings. But I don't think you're going to get too high end graphics. Like, if you are the type who likes to like just ramp everything up to 10. And go, I don't think you're going to be able to do it on some games. So that's just something to be aware of when you're looking at the Steam Deck, is there may be some limitations that could occur. But other than that, I'm happy that they're doing this to get more people onto Steam and onto the games that they offer and everything. And from what I'm remembering, Steam Deck is also considered kind of like a mini, a portable PC in a way, like it's a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah,
where it's like it's got its own OS, you can install other applications and everything on there, which I'm hoping that means, which I'm pretty sure Nine will tell us here in a minute, that they have a high enough gig count for it, because a lot of these games on Steam are getting pretty beefy in their gig count in terms of downloads and all. So, yeah. What are the levels there in Nineball?
All right, so we have the $400 one, which is a 64-gigabyte eMMC memory, and it just comes with a carrying case. A $529 version with a faster storage carrying case and a exclusive Steam community profile bundle for 256 gigabyte NVMe SSD, and the 649 version, which is the fastest storage, premier anti-glare edge glass, exclusive carrying case, exclusive Steam community bundle, virtual keyboard theme, and a 512 gigabyte NVMe SSD storage. I'm trying to bring up the stats for it now, Steam.
Does it have micro SD capabilities for installing extra storage?
Yes, I believe it does.
Good. Because
more about the hardware. Okay.
Let me just say some of the games that I've got.
Trackpad, Gyro. Fast storage. If you're looking for more storage, yeah, your built-in storage. Yep, you can augment your built-in storage with a micro SD card.
Oh, thank God, because there are terabyte micro SDs out there, and I'd probably recommend getting one if you're a very heavy gamer, because 500 is not going to go that far, guys. Not nowadays. Yep. I actually already had to delete stuff off of my system just to download... I had to download a game for something, and it was like I had too much on there. I was like, well, guys, remove stuff. Oh, South Park. I was trying to play South Park, and I was like, no, you can't because you're already overstocked. I'm like, already? Mm-hmm. Like this is just PS4 stuff, guys. I haven't even hit the 6 stuff. I'm like, I'm kind of looking. I'm like, all right, what am I going to delete now when Forbidden West comes out? Like, good Lord. Ooh,
yeah.
Like, ladies, I have to wipe the entire account, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our episode 3, season 2, All Things Gaming with the three amigos, talking about, again, just video game nerdy stuff, having a good time. This Thursday is going to be our first 2022 Sin segment stream. So we're going to be playing a campaign style game at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 10 p.m. And we'll find out what that game is. I know that me and It's Nine Ball have been playing with Gravity Mark 2. Been playing a little bit of Origami 2. Had a little fun with that, doing a little ninja stuff.
Only on Xbox.
Well, no, it's not. That's on everything. It's on Game Pass, but it's on PlayStation as well. But yeah, we'll find out what campaign game we're gonna link up and party up so that we guys could see some new streams there. Make sure you guys also check it out. It's the Nine Ball stream. I know that he's been doing a lot of Plague's Tale, Requiem.
Innocence.
Yeah, playing a little bit of that, getting through that. And then we have literally a month from today until Horizon Forbidden West comes out. Literally a month.
My pre-orders are already in and cooking.
Yeah.
The timer is counting down, and now I have to, like I said, go back and look and see about how much I have to delete off of the system just to get ready for it.
Oh, that was simple for me. The kids deleted a lot of stuff. My nieces and them, when they joined, all I got to do is delete The Sims 4 and Fortnite, and I got plenty of space.
And this Saturday is also
our
revamped 9-to-5 segment. So we'll find out what we're going to be able to do for that. So be on the lookout for any social media posts for whatever stream that's going to be happening, because I'm pretty sure that was the Rock one, the gem, whatever the one that's on PlayStation Plus right now that came out.
Deep Rock,
that's it. Yeah, Deep Rock is what we're going to be streaming for that. So be on the lookout for when we go live.
I call the Grumpy Dwarf.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, like I said, this has been All Things Gaming. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Make sure, again, lastly, before we go, if you guys have Amazon Prime and Twitch Prime, you guys can link them together to have your Twitch Prime account, whatever, and then you can you get a free sub monthly that you guys can go ahead and give to any Twitch streamer. You guys can utilize it for us. We would love that. We appreciate it. That's easy money. But if not, you guys could use it for another Twitch streamer that you guys appreciate and love and enjoy. Make sure you guys are doing that, because other than that, that's, again, it's free money. It's free money. It's Amazon giving us $5. So if you guys want to utilize that sub on a monthly subscription, please do so. It's not going to cost you anything additional. Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Peace.
Don't you say it.
I don't say it.